I think that's a little bit of homework for the Overdrive crew and all the listeners. Make sure you watch the game tonight on TSN4.
And text us in the time code.
Yes, because we're playing it tomorrow. If he can mix in...
blistering counter, that's the only one he can go with.
He goes into the Hall of Fame immediately. What do they call it? The Elmer...
Fudd.
Is it Elmer Fudd?
No, it's not. It's Elmer Ferguson.
Elmer Ferguson. Bob McKenzie would hate me.
Here's the thing. You made me stop, and is it the Elmer Fudd? The Elmer Fudd Media Award at the Hall of Fame. Well, Noodles will get that award if he can find a way to mix in blister and counter.
Elmer Ferguson. I can't believe I threw that one out there, and you gave me a look like, really?
Dude, I honestly thought for a second, because I'm like, I know that name, Elmer Fudd.
Isn't that I Think I Caught a Wabbit?
Yes. I'm like, is that a cartoon or is that the Hall of Fame award for the media members?
And I've been to that luncheon like numerous times, and I said Elmer Fudd.
Elmer is not a handle you come across very often.
No.
There's two of them that I know of, Fudd and Ferguson. And they're both very reputable.
That's the key. You need a name that nobody knows.
Elmer Fudd Hall of Fame Award.
Media Wing.
Yeah. So if,
well, maybe that should be the award for if you can do these things. Because I think Jeff could do it on the panel. Easy.
No, yeah, I'm not doing that.
But you could find it, man.
I didn't say I'm going to do that, and I'm not doing that.
No, but you could find that, though, because you're sitting there looking for tape that you're going to bring during the first intermission.
I get it, but that's Noodles' thing. I didn't say I was going to do that. I'm not participating in this.
Well, maybe we can get Ray to do it. Ray's calling a game tonight. He's calling the Ottawa-Vancouver game in Vancouver.
He would do it for sure.
Maybe we need a three-pack. Noodles has to do one. Ray's got to do another.
Okay,
but
so
who's going to know?
Well, we will. That's what matters.
And Overdrive people.
Yeah. I mean, everyone in Toronto and on Ontario will be watching TSN4 tonight. The Ottawa game is on TSN5. So if you're watching and listening in Ottawa, which a lot of people do, they'll have access to that. If you've got the package, you can watch both games. The Leaf game will be over by the time Vancouver gets up. So I think we've got an opportunity at the trifecta here. Noodles, Ray, and the O-Dog all seeking out the Elmer Fudd
Cup.
The Elmer Fudd Cup. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Man, what's the Elmer Fudd Cup?
Well, we were supposed
to
say
<you're>
the Elmer Ferguson Award.
Hayes asked me, he said, if Noodles does that, he'll be right in the wing at the Hall of Fame, the Elmer, and instead of Ferguson, I said Fudd.
Do you know that he is Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire? He owns a mansion and a yacht.
Well, he's very famous.
One of my favorite things. Somehow he gets hypnotized, and he keeps walking around in the cartoon, and that's what he keeps saying. My name is Elmer J. Fudd, millionaire. I own a mansion and a yacht.
I love it. And listen, now he's recognized by the Hall of Fame here in Toronto. I mean, this is Elmer Fudd is a man that wears many different titles, many different
now,
hats.
If I get elected to the Elmer Fudd, I'm showing up in a red hunting jacket and in one of those hats.
You have to. And then act so confused that it's Elmer Ferguson.
Like, what do you mean? I got the Fudd.
Yeah.
I'm here for the Fudd.
The Fudd is a great name for an award.
Why don't we just have our own Hall of Fame, the Elmer Fudd Hall of Fame wing, and we nominate whoever we want?
All right, that's what we'll do on Overdrive.
Like that.
Broadcasters that we love, you guys, you go into the Elmer Fudd.
Gary Thorne, you're in.
Gary Thorne's in the Elmer Fudd.
Well, and maybe Gary could use that, you know, as part of his acceptance speech. It could be that, you know, from the Orioles game there. Like, well, don't these guys know by now?
That's right.
Like, that should be on his speech.
We asked him, do you keep wanting to call the games? He said, no, had enough.
No, I've had enough.
15 games left in the year. No, I'm done.
No, I've had enough.
Like, that's, you have to be tenured. You have to be a legend to be employed by the team. I assume he's employed by the Baltimore Orioles. Most of the play-by-play guys are. For him to openly admit, I'd rather not do this.
Like, how good must you be, or how secure must you be to go,
right,
whatever, yeah, I have had it.
I guess.
But I think he could, in all honesty, he could say to his bosses, have you been watching these guys?
Well, he was freaking out over a pop-up to the third baseline, and he was just like, how do these guys not know that the pitcher doesn't go after the ball by now? And he was going crazy.
I love that, man. That's so that great.
That is the best.
Well, and that's why we requested to have him on. That was the best part. The Grappler sent him an email and just said, we'd like to talk about how frustrated you are calling games for the Orioles, and he accepted the request. Like, we had no interest in talking about the team or anything. Nobody cares about the Orioles up here. Nobody cares about the Orioles in Baltimore, I would have to imagine.
That's probably a good bet.
Yeah. So the reason we came across this, Noodles is calling the Leaf game in Philly, and this is his first regular season game calling the Leafs on TSN4. And after the MLS Cup final, we came in and we were talking about Stephen Caldwell and Luke Wildman calling the final on TSN and some of the terms that they use in soccer and these British terms that I love that we don't use over here because it doesn't apply to our game or they aren't necessarily sayings that people are familiar with, like blistering counterattack, tantalizing match.
Like it. Yes.
And half chance. He kept saying, he's like, it's only a half chance. I'm like, I like that. So Noodles has made a pledge that he's going to try to mix at least one of those sayings into the game tonight. O is kind of half-heartedly jumping on board on the panel. And maybe you can try to mix one in Vancouver
okay,
tonight.
Okay, so what are we looking for here? So like,
blistering counterattack is an easy one. It's a layup.
Yeah, I can get in the half chance.
Yes,
that's a piece of cake.
We think tantalizing
that's a half
match.
Chance, man. Yeah,
tantalizing
I
match.
Right? Match though. No, the match.
Exactly.
Is the wrong
that's
sport.
That's the one nobody can use because we don't say match. You say match up.
Now I did. My kids asked me to get this in the EA game, which I did. Is when a guy scores in the top shelf in soccer, they call it top bin.
Nice.
Top bins. And so I use that. So that's in the EA. I could use top bins tonight.
Yeah. I like that. I think we got to start mixing it in a little bit because, yeah, half chance. You get someone, you know, fans on a shot, had an opportunity, but it's only a half chance.
Throw in a holy hell. Holy hell.
Just really get British.
Yeah, just
start going offside.
Holy hell.
Get yourself fired tonight somehow.
Yeah. Well, Jeff O'Neill said I could do it.
Yeah,
yeah, good. Call
and
him then.
I want to be up for the Elmer Fudd on overdrive, so I have to do it.
We'll do once a week an Elmer Fudd recipient.
I like it. Anyway, breaking news in New Jersey that no one's surprised by. John Hines, their head coach, fired. Do you think it's going to have any effect on the rest of their season? I mean, I kind of think they're done and it's over anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't. They've got a real mess on their hands there, right? And, you know, they went out in the summer. They signed Wayne Simmonds for 1 year. They traded for Subban. They've got Taylor Hall on the last year. Like, they've got Jack Hughes, the number one pick. I think there was some cautious optimism, if that's the right word, that maybe they could be, you know, a team that takes a big leap. And it's all fallen apart for them. It started in goal when, you know, unfortunately, one of the real good guys in the game, Corey Schneider, it's just come undone for him. You know, he just can't stop it. Can't stop the puck. And so that was one of their problems. They had some injuries. Hall hasn't had a particularly effective stretch when he's been back. And he looks like he's one of those guys. I don't know if you guys would agree, but when I watch, he looks like he's kind of half expecting to be traded like yesterday. You know, like he looks like he's...
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he knows, you know, and it's like... And you can never really get yourself up to speed when you think you know that it's coming. It just doesn't work. And so, like, can they salvage the year? I don't think so. The next big move for them is going to be, you know, can they get a deal, or at least in my opinion, is like, if they're going to trade Hall, what kind of return can you get?
Right.
Like, you know, can you make a significant difference maker trade, or is the fact that he's a free agent just cripple what you can get?
Well, I think it depends on whether or not, you know, to your point, can you pull the Mark Stone?
But even that, like, you just want, like, Ottawa after that trade was like, I think we got six pieces. Just get, like, one really good thing. And I think that's their challenge, isn't it, Ray? Like, how do you get one thing that you can put with Hughes and Heischer, and they'll probably get the number one pick or number two pick.
They'll be in the running again, yeah.
Well, you can get it if that becomes your focus, I guess. But it was also that, pretty clearly Vegas had the opportunity to talk to Mark Stone, because I don't think you come up with a $72 million contract agreement in a couple hours.
Yeah, funny how that one worked out.
Yeah,
all
so
the fine print.
I think they probably had, a period of time where Stone, it seems likely anyway, that Stone was given permission to speak to Vegas. Hey, if we can come up with an extension, then the deal is Brännström, and which is exactly what it turned out to be, because they'd already made a couple of trades, I think, guys, that that entailed like one player for like four players and four draft picks and a prospect, a B prospect. Well, they don't need B prospects. They got B prospects. They need this trade to really make a difference for them. And I'm with you. It's, for me, it's the one top end prospect, not a whole bunch of B level guys.
So it's a big night in Vancouver. It's a Canadian matchup, Ottawa and Vancouver, but Alex Burrows is going into the Ring of Honor in Vancouver, and I can't think of a more local story that has caused a bit of a stir. I'm not even sure it's appropriate to say it's a stir, but everyone's got an opinion on everything. And even in Toronto, people are discussing whether or not he's worthy of it.
Well, they're all saying he's a crap disturber, not really a point producer, but...
But the market determines how much you love a player.
Would it be the equivalent of Kadri getting in the Ring of Honor at the ACC?
Sure. Or Darcy Tucker.
Tucker's
probably the best example. Everyone loves him here in Toronto, so he should go.
They have a Ring of Honor.
No, they don't. I'm saying hypothetically speaking.
Well, okay, so here's the thing with Burrows. He became such a great story because he was in the East Coast League. He really was not even a prospect. And then somehow he got to the American League, and they had a couple injuries, and they called him up, and then he just never went back. And he, for some reason, even more incredibly, was they decided to put Alex Burrows on the wing with the Sedins. Like, why would that possibly work? Except they played together for years, and it was incredibly effective. Burrows actually, Burrows scored the year that they went to the finals. They had to get through Chicago, and Chicago would beat them like a drum for the previous number of playoffs and through the regular seasons. And in Game 7 in overtime, Burrows scored and really became a local legend the minute the puck hit the back of the net.
Mm-hmm. And that was a half chance, too. Like, it was from the slot, but it was a half chance until it went in. Then it was a full chance.
And then it was a full chance, and it went top bins.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
So the thing is, like, he deserves to be in the Ring of Honor because the market is where he... It's not about whether people around the league think he's a great choice or not. Like, who cares what the people in, I don't know, Toronto or Montreal or Pittsburgh think of him? It doesn't matter. In Vancouver, it matters.
Right. It was like Carolina last year doing all their dances and celebrations.
Yeah.
They loved it in Carolina. Why would they care about what people in Toronto or Vancouver or New York think?
Yeah, and
cater to your market.
And so it'll be a good night. He's a very popular player here, and he'll push back face off 17 minutes too.
Oh, yeah.
I got a game in Edmonton tomorrow too. We need to move this along.
Leafs and Philly taking on the Flyers. Philly, they appear to be legit. They're getting that new coach bump. Elaine Vigneault, who's got the records in the past. I mean, everyone knows what he's all about, speaking of Vancouver. But they're getting goaltending. They're tandem.
That's the only question mark, if that can hold up.
Well, Hart and Elliott's been pretty good for them. I mean, they appear to be a team. I think they'll be in the race all year. What do you think, Ray?
I do. I didn't particularly love their Kevin Hayes signing this year. 8 year or 7 years, whatever it was, $50 million. Years, I guess. I just thought that was way too much. But he's actually played quite well for them, and him and Vigneault know each other, and Vigneault trusts them. And they've got, what's pretty interesting when I look at them, as effective as they've been, I think they've got points in 14 of their last 16 games. But what's really interesting is, like, in that time, they've also got Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee in the lineup. These are two 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this old group that's just kind of, plugging away, and, they're mixing in some young guys. They've got a pretty mobile defense. Provorov's a terrific player. And I'm with you. I think this is a legit team.
Yeah, it won't be easy for Toronto. I mean, it feels like they always have a tough time in Philly.
Yeah.
Like they always close games, but they find a way to lose. And they're dealing with another back-to-back. Like that is just, those are curse words with the Maple Leafs right now. They cannot find a way to get points in two straight games.
The first one, nights. No, the first one they can.
But look at Buffalo, though.
Yeah.
They went the opposite way last weekend.
Well, yeah.
Well, maybe that's because, you know, you're such a glass half full guy, Brian. Maybe that's a step in the right direction.
No.
I mean, it does seem like they have a lot of them, though. And it seems like they have a lot of back-to-backs. It's like you finish one and then your next game's a back-to-back.
By the new year, I think they've had 10
more,
right?
Yeah.
And then they only have four left. They got to get through December, and then it kind of eases up a little bit. But easier said than done. I mean, these are real points,
and they're valuable points, right? Yep. They're important points that do matter. And so I'm interested to see how they, you know, how they handle the game. It'll be different for them each time the Leafs under Keefe face a team. It's the first time with the new coach, and see how their style. You know, now teams are going to get a chance to look at them on video a little bit. They'll be able to understand perhaps a little better what Toronto's doing. Can the Leafs, are they getting better? I would assume they are with the system they're trying to play, like it's more comfortable for them. So there's always going to be things in the next little interim here to see, to watch that'll be pretty interesting because it's all so new.
Ray, can I ask you a question about your podcast?
You can.
The Ray and Dregs podcast. I was listening to it on the way down. Can you tell me is that Sean Donovan? Actually, that's not the most important thing from the podcast. Some really interesting talk about coaching, but I want to ask you about Sean Donovan. Is that story true?
Yeah,
well, what story? You gotta tell the story.
But that, I don't want to tell the story. I want Ray to tell the story. That story is amazing.
So somehow we got it talking to Dregs and I about nicknames or something or other. And I said, one thing that you shouldn't be able to do is come up with your own nickname. Like, O can't come up and say, I'm the O dog. Everybody call me the O dog.
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous. Well, we were in Carolina one night, or one day, and Sean had been traded to our team from Colorado, poor guy. And he decided that he didn't want to be called Dono anymore. He didn't like it. Said it was boring. So he came in one day and decided that his nickname was The Storm. Okay. And we're like, yeah, but we're not calling you The Storm.
No.
Well, he outweighed us. He wouldn't answer to anything until we started calling him The Storm. He got one of the trainers to bring some branches in from outside, and he put them around in his stall. And we're like, what is that? He's like, a storm just blew through here. I'm The Storm. It was awesome.
That is commitment.
And so finally, like even now I see him. I'm like, hey, Storm, how's it going? Like, he's The Storm.
You know what? You got to give him credit.
Like, didn't he come up with anything better?
It is a ridiculous nickname.
I'm The Storm.
Well, he,
it's like Stormy the Pig in Carolina, the mascot.
Well, I don't know. They call you, like, you know, you're old dog.
I know.
Or a dog.
Yeah, but you know, I didn't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he did have a choice. Maybe he could have come up with something better, but he was a really fast skater, and I think he thought this gave indication to how fast he was on the ice. But now, I would never call him Dono anymore. He's in skill development with the Senators, and so every once in a while, we'll see him at the rink, and he's The Storm.
That's perseverance. That is commitment. That I have a lot of appreciation for that. Not necessarily the nickname, but for him just to be like, I'm going to win this battle. Like, you have no chance. And in 20 years, you're still going to call me this nickname. I'm telling you, it's changing.
Here's the best part. So, like, he decides he's going to be called The Storm. So we're at the pregame meal. He's not talking. Like, he wouldn't answer if you called him Donald. He wouldn't answer. And so, like, we're sitting at our table, and we're like, the hell, we're not going to call him Storm, are we? And everyone's like, no way, we're not going to do that. And then he just became The Storm.
What about if you're on the ice, though?
Storm!
Yeah, like, what if his coach yells, Dono, get on the ice? Like, wouldn't that have been a great challenge?
You just sit there and you say, nope, I'm Storm.
My name is The Storm, if you'd like me to go on the ice. Hell, we were so bad, we were just happy to be called anything at that point.
Yeah, not idiot that should be on waivers.
You're not on waivers because we can't put everyone on waivers.
Right.
So you'll have to play.
So speaking of the Ray and Dregs podcast, you know, you were speaking today on the episode about what you think the league should do in the future in terms of handling, you know, abuse in the workplace, progressive nature of the game, society, where we're going, what we've been dealing with. Take us through your plan, because it's gaining a lot of traction.
Well, first of all, it's an idea. It's a set of ideas. It's certainly not like I've got the answer or I'm some kind of expert here that you know, definitively knows how to move forward. But I'm listening to all of this and, you know, over the last few days, and I've given it a lot of thought. And I'm like, okay, so a couple of things. Until this week, I've never thought of the arena. Not once have I ever thought of it as a workplace. It's like the rink. It's like where we go play. It's where, you know, yeah, it's my job, but I've never thought of it as a workplace. So this seems to be gaining, you know, not seems to be, is gaining a lot of traction, that the workplace is the rink is the workplace. Now, I think the ice surface itself is different than the, you know, where you have the interactions personally outside, the coaches' offices, the dressing rooms, the meeting rooms, all that stuff's a little different. But my idea is in every training camp, in the National Hockey League, the American League, all three junior leagues, every coach, manager, staff, and player would go through a code of conduct meeting, basically, a seminar. And whatever the code of conduct is agreed upon between the players and the managers, the league, is taught. And now you would teach something different in year three than year one, because it would evolve, it would change. And so everybody goes through this, you sign it, and then at least it's, and then now you've acknowledged that you've heard the message. Then the year goes on, and there's another part to this, and that's, there's an independent body that would be, somebody texted me and said it should be called an ombudsman, but I didn't know the word at the time. I just called it like a HR department, like mm-hmm. a complaint department. And so a player could anonymously call in and say, hey, look, this situation is going on. I'm not comfortable with this in my workplace. This is an independent body. It's not affiliated with the team nor the league. And they would investigate. They would have access to talk to the people and form a report. Much like what would happen at Bell Media if there was a problem at the office.
Mm-hmm.
Someone would file a complaint, there would be an investigation, somebody would be spoken to, and then you're on record. But going on record means that you also have the opportunity to learn, to find out why it was offensive to somebody. And if we're trying to do this better, then there has to be a starting point. And I think this is part of the starting point, is that you have the seminar, people have the opportunity to learn. You have the ombudsman, and if there is something that goes offside, people have the chance to understand why it's offside, and they have the chance to learn. And to me, it's just really the first steps of what can be. Because it's going to change. And so why not look at, okay, it's going to change, but I think it's BS, guys, when all we hear is, well, they just have to be better. What the hell does that mean? Like, there's got to be a concrete idea behind it, and it's far too early for real concrete ideas. These are just my ideas as I was thinking about it over the weekend, going, I think this could be part of a way forward.
That would be the most complex element of your idea, Ray, is developing a language or putting a language in place so everybody understood it moving forward.
I mean,
what constitutes as...
Well, and also another layer to it is, like, if we're going to use the workplace, let's say Bell Media around here at TSN, and this is going to apply, because I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Like, knowing the rink, you're in a rink when you're 5 years old. You're not in a cubicle when you're 5 years old.
Yeah, but you're not getting paid when you're 5 years old.
No, I understand, but you just think of it as a rink. It just gets bigger and more people fill it as you grow up, but you're getting paid and it's a business. But it's not only about checks and balances with your boss. Like, this would open the door to players having issue with other players in the room.
Yeah, are you allowed to go F yourself? What, like, get your head out of your ass?
I don't know.
Well, and
what I said. The getting the language together will be the most complex element to that.
Ray,
I don't debate that for a second. Like, I'm not thinking like, hey, you can sit down here and in a weekend come up with this charter or this code of conduct. Like, no bloody way. It's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be harder than what people think. to come up. But I'll say this, because I don't know, like, when people are talking about a workplace and trying to equate it to the workplace that they know, most of these people that are fans, that are rec players, that are, you know, have either played or not played, they wouldn't know what it's like to sit in a confined place, that everything's going 100 miles an hour, that if I'm not on the edge, I don't do my job, and somebody pushes me off the edge and I'm out of the league.
Mm-hmm.
So things are going to get said that aren't cool to the everyday person. But to me, the interaction part, the code of conduct, is when the power dynamic is in play, that's really what we're talking about. We're not necessarily talking about the interaction player to player. Now, that'll probably get dragged into it at some point, and that's why I say in year three it'll be different than year one.
Right.
But right away, we're talking about the power dynamic. So a coach can call me into the office, and, you know, if he's told me three times, he's able to really grind me. But he's got to do it in a way that, I mean, there is a way to do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And we know, like the way they did it with us way back when is not the way they do it today. I think people have forgotten, or maybe they don't know how far the game has evolved already. But all that's done is getting us closer to, like, what might be a finish line miles down the road. Like, we're not near it, but we're way closer to a better place than we were in 1980. It's not even close. And
yep.
No, there's nobody that can debate me on that, because I was there and I saw it. And it's not the same place now. It's better, but it's nowhere near good enough. And that's just critical. It's nowhere near good enough. We can do better, and this is just a set of ideas to start to say, okay, this is part of the conversation. What do we like? What do we don't like? Okay, let's see if we can move forward from this, or do we have to go in a different direction?
Great stuff, buddy. As always, we'll be watching you tonight for the game, for the call, but maybe for a half chance, maybe a blistering counterattack. Feel free to use whatever you want to use.
If someone gets one into the shelf, you will hear top bins. Blistering counterattack, I think I might be able to work in.
What about this?
Brilliant! Come on.
In an accent, though. It has to be.
Brilliant!
and what would Gary Thorne do? Would Gary want to talk about that anymore?
No,
I've had enough.
He's had enough. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Have a great day, guys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. For all of December, receive a $500 Vaughn Mills gift card when you purchase or lease any new in-stock vehicle. Maple Toyota, right next to Wonderland.